Welcome to The Rise of the Ecopreneur, a podcast presented to you by Ubuntu. Ubuntu is a collaboration platform connecting sustainability changemakers all across the globe. I'm your host, Shelby, otherwise known as Shelbizzle on YouTube, where I also make sustainability content. Each week on the podcast, I'll be speaking to ecopreneurs whose research, campaigns, and innovations are helping to create a more sustainable future. So if this sounds like something you'd be interested in, make sure you're following us on your favorite podcasting platform and stay tuned for future episodes. Today on episode one, we'll be speaking to one of the co-founders of Take 3 for the Sea, a not-for-profit organization that has a very simple yet very powerful message of picking up just a small amount of trash to make a huge difference. We'll be speaking to Tim Silverwood about aha moments he's learned along the way and how we can get involved with Take 3 for the Sea to make a difference. Tim, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Absolutely. It's great to have you. So for our audience, I wanted to start off by getting you to tell us a little bit about you. We can start with that and then head into Take 3 for the Sea. So I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about your background and kind of how you got interested in the environment to begin with.
Yeah, look, I think I'm a fortunate man. I grew up on the central coast of New South Wales in Australia. It's about an hour and a half north of Sydney, for those of you who can at least start to imagine where that is on our planet. And I grew up in the bush, thank you to my parents, a beautiful bushland property that was just a playground for me to go and explore and get a sense that I was just one living organism in amongst this beautiful dynamic ecosystem. So nature has always been a part of my life. As I got older, I also became infatuated with the ocean. I used to go out with my best friends and we would play in the ocean, originally starting out riding bodyboards or boogie boards and then eventually migrating through to all manner of surfboards and surf craft. So I spent half my time on the land and the other time in the ocean. And to me, that just made me whole. So naturally, as I was maturing and growing up, I became more interested in those studies around the way that nature functions. I loved the sciences and geography and learning specifically about how humans were interacting with the natural world. And it really got me interested in when we were having a negative impact. So sustainability became a very important part of my growth, of my journey, and that sort of culminated in deciding to be an environmentalist as a career.
Definitely. That's really good. I think a lot of people can relate to the initial connection being with nature when you're young, right? So that's great to hear. And I noticed that you said that you decided to turn that into your career, which is definitely something I want our audience to hear a little bit more about. So a lot of people obviously are passionate about sustainability, interested and even passionate, but what was that kind of tipping point saying, I want to dedicate essentially my life to this? You know, we spend so much time on our careers. So I guess what was that aha moment for you, if there was one?
Yeah, look, it definitely started through interaction with some of my teachers throughout my education, where I think they recognized that I did have an acute interest in the natural world and around what was essentially quite a new term in the mid to late 90s of sustainability and sustainable development and ESD. I think that was really what started it. I decided to go and study a Bachelor of Science in Sustainability at university. But to be honest, after those years of studying and learning the philosophies around sustainability and some models with which society should be adhering to, I found it quite hard to then take that into the workforce because the opportunities just didn't seem to match up with my expectations of being able to create this positive change. So I actually ended up doing all sorts of odd jobs, working in travel and doing a lot of travel around the world. And I often tell young people that, yes, I've got my Bachelor of Science, but almost more important than that was my Bachelor of Life, which came with a backpack over my shoulders and a surfboard under my arm, traveling around the world, seeing how the world lived. We coexist with 7 billion people and all these diverse cultures, and each of those has very different attitudes and behaviours towards their treatment of the planet and of the ocean. So it was really during those travels in my mid-20s that I witnessed some of these things that really shocked me. And I suppose the big aha moment came when I was about 27 years old and I was backpacking through India, and I ended up in the Himalayas to go snowboarding in Indian-administered Kashmir. And I captured video of this moment. I often use it in my talks. I discovered that all the waste that was being generated in this very small mountain village was being picked up by a tractor from all the hotels and the guest houses and then just being dumped over the side of the mountain. And what really made that so profound for me was that even though I'd put my rubbish in the bin, I'd done the right thing, it was now being discarded into the Himalaya. And so I realized my own involvement in this problem. I felt like it was there was nothing I could do to avoid it. So it really set me about this journey of trying to tackle pollution, plastic, and obviously waste.
That's so awesome to hear you say. I really like the contrast of your Bachelor's of Science and your Bachelor's of Life. I think I've mentioned maybe to you before, but I definitely got my Bachelor's of Environmental Science as well, went into the workforce and realized there's just not a lot of positions where you feel like you're making an active difference. So I definitely love that you emphasized that. That people often ask that question, and I think a lot of people who are my age or, you know, starting college age want to do something that they're passionate about, but it doesn't always turn out to be exactly what you had hoped.
Yeah, but that's not to say that I didn't do a lot of, you know, volunteer jobs, and I did have some jobs that were in the realm, but I think what you're sort of alluding to there is that, you know, you've got this real fire in the belly, you want to get out there and do something and make change, and those opportunities, they might not be your first, second, or fifth, or tenth opportunity, but by participating, you are building your skills and experiences to then maybe be able to go out there and tackle the big one.
Absolutely. So yeah, I love that you said that. I was wondering if you could tell us now, since you said that you kind of thought about going into the workforce, but obviously you transitioned into doing more of your own thing where you're kind of leading projects now. And if you could tell us a little bit about how Take 3 for the Sea got started. And I noticed that you co-founded the organization. So if you could tell us a little bit about that process.
Yeah, so after those personal experiences, particularly traveling through developing regions, I came back with a real passion to address this problem. And in doing so, I was doing some advocacy, getting out there and speaking and trying to inspire other surfers to join in beach cleanups, for example. And it was at one event where I was speaking that a woman in the audience came up to me excitedly afterwards and said, "Oh my gosh, you have to meet my friends Mandy and Roberta. You're going to love them." And so I was, okay, this is sounding good. So a matter of days later, after a quick phone call, we connected, and Mandy and Roberta had this little document that said, "Take 3, a clean beach initiative." And essentially, Mandy and Roberta had come together, each with their own backstory. Mandy, a passionate surfer and educator. Roberta, a very well-regarded marine ecologist. And they'd come up with this idea. And I just saw it and immediately realized that this is so much better than just doing beach cleanups. Here is an opportunity to create behavior change with this idea of just taking 3 bits of rubbish with you when you leave the beach, the park, the waterway, or anywhere. So I was straight away convinced that they were onto something. So we joined forces, and within a matter of months, we'd officially registered the organization, and the Take 3 journey began. That was in 2009.
It's so interesting because it's like you didn't really know these people too much before you jumped into such an endeavor with them. So I guess my next question would be, are there specific risks that you could point to that you took in order to take on your own sort of start to something new?
Yeah, look, at that point in time, you know, I was still working full time in another conservation role. Everyone had their life going on. So for the first 12 to 18 months of take three, we were just making incremental steps, getting some of the paperwork sorted, and we started doing some of these educational programs. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until 2011 when we were encouraged to apply for a grant. It was for $50,000, which seemed very significant by comparison to some of the other smaller grants that had been shown to us earlier. And so we put an application in. It was for the Taronga Conservation Society Green Grant, and we won it. We won $50,000. And for me, the money was obviously huge. It showed that we could now invest in scaling up the organization. But for me, it was this recognition that people believed that what we were onto had value. And so at that point in time, my whole attitude shifted. So in that same year, I quit my job. I saw the opportunity to go out with Algalita Marine Research Institute and sail across the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. When I came back, I did a TED talk. So suddenly at that moment in 2011, I made that launch off the cliff, so to speak, and said, you know what? I am going to focus on this. I don't know what's going to come as a result, but I felt compelled at that point in time to really embark upon the journey.
I love that. So your message is very simple, but also very powerful. I think when people are just starting to get into environmentalism and trying to reduce their waste, it's very easy to latch on to little things like that. And I just think, as small as it may seem, it's very impactful on a wide audience of people. And so you guys mostly focus on, or at least your main message is to focus on kind of post-consumerism and kind of like cleaning up what we've messed up. And so I'm wondering what type of activism you guys do for waste reduction, maybe pre-consumption, and just outreach events and things that you guys do.
Yeah, look, I think what is so special about the Take Three for the Sea message is that we're a bit of a Trojan horse, right? So on the surface, all we're asking you to do is just pick up three items of trash. It's so easy. It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't take you any time. And that is awesome, because what people will do is they'll go, okay, yeah, maybe. And it might take them a little bit of time, a little bit of exposure to the message, but eventually they will take that monumental step and they will pick up those few items. And then it'll become part of their psyche. It will not get out of their brain. Once you see this stuff on the ground, you can't unsee it. And so naturally people start this journey, which culminates in what we've seen in incredible activism and advocacy from our support base. So people are out there now running a zero waste workshop or starting up their own project on social media. It's just incredible what can come from getting people engaged at very low level. So I don't think I really even appreciated that when we started Take Three for the Sea, but now I realize it's a very, very powerful vessel for getting broad change. And so to then go back to your second part of that question. So yeah, whilst we run this very simple message that's mostly delivered online and social media, in the other world of Take Three, which is when we deliver our programs, we've got a team of educators out there who work with all sorts of youth groups in schools and in surfing clubs and throughout communities, and we run lots of activities and events to get people out, connected, and starting their journey to sustainability.
Very cool. You've mentioned that you guys started back in 2009 and obviously started as a small group of people, and social media wasn't quite as, I guess, innate to us. It almost seems like part of our culture now. So whenever you guys started back then, was your initial movement to be local or to be on social media and be more global? I guess I'm asking, what was the shift like going from a small local team to now having a representation all across the globe?
Yeah, definitely. I think in the original model for Take Three, a clean beach initiative that Mandy and Roberta came up with, they were really looking and saying, well, how can we preserve the local environment and the local marine ecosystem? So delivering those education programs, the area where we started, we've got such incredible saturation across all the schools and institutions. It's phenomenal how many people are actively involved with Take Three for the Sea in that region. But I recognized that there was a huge opportunity to take this thing viral. So very early on, I became active on social media channels and have really helped to build that to the point now where recent analysis has found the Take 3 for the Sea hashtag just on Instagram has been used in 129 countries. It's been used in every single continent except Antarctica. So I want to encourage anyone who's going to Antarctica this summer season to get down there and make sure you do a Take 3 for the Sea if you can find something. And it's really quite amazing. And once I said, as I said before, these people that are engaged in that simple action regularly go on to do much greater advocacy and activism. So I like to think we're having a massive impact around the world.
Absolutely. I would agree as well. I knew about you guys far before you and I connected for the podcast, and your message is definitely getting across pretty much the entire globe. So that's amazing to hear. Since you mentioned that you guys are very involved in your local community and how you've changed like kind of the mindset there, I'm wondering, what are those shifts that you've seen since starting back in 2009? And do you think, I guess, how big of a role do you think Take 3 for the Sea played in the shifts that you've seen in policies and also just in mindset in general?
Yeah, look, I think we are part of many, many great organizations and individuals and even political and corporate leaders who are super passionate about change and contributing towards that change. But I do feel that in Australia there's been a particularly great momentum building in recent years. That to me really culminated in the last couple of years where our major broadcaster, which is the ABC, a government-owned broadcaster here, ran a particularly powerful TV series called War on Waste, and it's now delivered two series. And my gosh, it has just created a new normal in this country around the attitude of the broader community towards tackling waste and tackling pollution. And at the center of that is the conversation on plastic and single-use plastic. So now we've got an incredible opportunity to really chart a new path in addressing this wicked complex problem. Australia is just like North America and many other nations. I think we're second in per capita creation of waste next to North America. So we create huge amounts of waste, and we're an island nation a long way from everywhere. So we are victim to the complexity in what you do and how you create an efficient system for recycling or for the circular economy. So we've got a long way to go, but I think in winning that community battle, we're a long way towards tackling that war on waste. And that's why I'm so keen on being connected with you, Shelby, because, you know, you're doing the same. You're up against it sometimes. You know that the bulk of the community really is not even seeing this on the radar yet. But we know that what we see in the growth of the movement is such a positive sign towards tackling it at a larger level.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you say we've come a long way, but we obviously still have a way to go. And people, I'm hoping that a lot of people from my audience are listening and that they're also wanting to be eco-activists. You know, once you become so passionate about something like this, obviously you want to get involved. And I think you guys provide a great way to do that. But I think we should all be thinking about what's the best way to be the best activist that we can be, kind of as soon as we can be, because I have been through all kinds of stages of being an eco-activist, if you will. And so I'm wondering if there's anything you wish you would have done differently during your mission of Take 3 for the Sea, or just as an eco-activist in general.
Yeah, look, I've always been very eager to open up to my mentors and coaches and people around me who have believed in me and believed in the organization. And I don't want to say that I didn't listen enough, but I probably didn't listen enough. There's many times throughout my journey where people just, they knew that I needed to just sort of shift my thinking a little bit. And I'm mostly referring here to the growth and development of Take 3 for the Sea as a charity, which essentially, if you're a charity, a non-profit organization, an NGO, you still need to operate first and foremost like a robust business. And I think that was not really, it took me a long time to realize that. I thought, no, we're doing things differently. It's a new generation. We're just going to go out there and create all sorts of positive change by bucking the previous trends. And it's now, as we're sort of reaching close to our 10-year anniversary next year, I look and I think, gee, the things that we're doing now are the things that I was being encouraged to do 5-6 years ago. So I suppose my message here is that do open up to those mentors and coaches, people that believe in you, and listen to them. Not that I didn't listen to them, but I could have listened more.
I think that's a powerful piece of advice as well. And I'm glad that people are going to get to hear that. And I'm glad that you've learned from it. So I guess you've already come so far and kind of learned those lessons. But what is next for Take 3 for the Sea? Where do you guys see it going since you have clearly kind of shifted your mindset now?
Yeah, look, well, in doing a lot of work in the last 4 and 5 years with my fantastic board of directors and coaches and mentors, we have been able now to build a very robust business case for the organization. And the aim with doing so is that we can expand this message globally. Obviously, we already have global reach and global impact, but the organization now needs to step up and tackle the issue in some of these devastated regions of the world. So here you can imagine Australia. We're very close proximity to Southeast Asia and Indonesia. We've got all our neighbours out there in the South Pacific, in the islands of the Pacific, where they are just struggling with this. Not only are huge levels of pollution washing onto their shorelines from foreign countries, but they're also struck with this wicked problem of all the materials coming into the nation to be consumed and then no infrastructure and support to deal with this waste crisis. So I really feel that Take 3 has to step up and take our program to other regions. We've got a lot of interest in furthering our the use of technology and communications. We've seen that people will participate in this small action. Imagine if we could develop technologies to better measure the impact and the social and environmental impact of those actions. So we've got a really exciting path for the future, and we just love it when we see people around the world joining our movement, getting involved, participating, and in doing so, spreading it even further.
Absolutely. I like that you say you want people to get involved with your message, because like I said, I think it's very easy to resonate with that. And as we're winding down here, I definitely want to give our listeners a way that they can get involved either with your mission or specifically with Take 3 for the Sea. So could you kind of lay out how our listeners could get involved with your organization?
Yeah, so obviously the simplest thing you can do is the action. So you can take a few items of trash from the environment, and if you're inclined, post an image on social media or share it with some friends. And that is empowering, because they will then go, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. And they're going to be encouraged to do so as well. So we really have that viral opportunity to spread that. But of course, join our website, follow our newsletter, just join our community physically. And if you are in a position to support us, then please do so. We always accept financial contributions and partnerships, because for every $3 donated to the organization, that's a child educated through our programs, our youth programs. So that's the easiest way. And of course, if you think there's an opportunity to help create Take 3 for the Sea in another part of the world, then reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. And we just love when people get involved with our movement.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Tim. Is there anything we haven't covered, or maybe a message you want to leave the audience with before we let go?
Yeah, look, I just realized there was a question early on when we were talking about how the message is sort of seems targeted at that post-consumption and cleaning up the mess. So I think that it's really important to note that Take 3 for the Sea and the action of picking up trash is never meant to be to the solution. It really is about using the action and that engagement to get those people part of that movement, which is going to demand a massive shift in the way we view consumption, the way we view the management of waste and the adoption of the circular economy. So I think that's really important. Take 3 exists to build up this this huge force of people who are participating, but the reason being, they need to be the voice for radical change in the way that we view waste and pollution. So get involved, and hopefully it'll be the start of a very long and exciting journey for not just our organization, but many, many others around the world.
Absolutely. I actually really love that you say that, because I find that for a long time, I'm sure you can relate to this and our listeners can as well, but you kind of consume all of these disposable, per se, plastics, and you don't really think about where they go until you see the impacts they're having on our world. So it definitely does seem like it starts with picking up trash, and then you start to rethink how that gets generated. So I love that message, Tim. And thank you so much for talking with me today. I hope our audience enjoyed this podcast, and I think that'll be it.
Thank you so much. Really enjoyed that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Tim. We really hope you enjoyed the podcast, and if you did, it would mean the world to us if you left a review on iTunes. That really helps us gauge what you're enjoying and what you'd like to see more of. Also, if you have suggestions for guests you'd like to hear from on the podcast, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at shelbizzle, S-H-E-L-B-I-Z-L-E-E-E, or write us an email to podcast@ubuntu.com. I'm your host, Shelby, again, otherwise known as Shelbizzle on YouTube. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.